Hello again there, folks. So the warm weather is upon us once again. And what I wanted to talk about was the way that we think about these things differently now. And it seems like it's getting worse each year, where there's more of an overspillage of diversity into places that we wouldn't normally think of being associated with diversity. And so you've got this sort of phenomena of deterritorialization of the native English or the native Brits, and it hits people harder than what you might think. And I think it's an interesting subject. And I remember years ago I went fishing with a friend in Seton Sluice, and we were coming back. We were walking up the beach with the dog, and there was a bunch of immigrants of one sort or another sitting around in the sand dunes having a fire. And they all had this sort of shifty look. They were wearing, the sort of the shell suit sort of thing, the rain jackets in the wrong weather. And I've got no idea where they were from, and let's be honest, nobody cares anymore, do they? Like, this was about 10 years ago as well. And there's a just people used to care. People used to care where they come from, but now it's just become this sort of generic foreignness, and people don't care. And there was a woman that came over, and she was walking a dog, an English woman, and she looked quite well to do. And she came over, and she was incensed, and she said, "What are they doing here? Why? What? How did they find their way to Seton Sluice Beach?" Which, in all fairness, is not a place that you'd associate with diversity. You would associate London's inner city suburbs or old Yorkshire mill towns or Birmingham or all these things. And there's a certain sort of aspect to it when they pop up in places where you don't expect them, it's a shock to the system for a lot of people. And this is what we see every summer more and more. You see it in particular when in Brighton Beach, which is just, and I've got to be careful how I put this, but it's just overwhelmed with foreignness. And what this signifies as well is that you get atrocities. So you also get murders and rapes and sort of unrest and riots and these kind of mass brawls, and everybody pulls out the iPhone and everybody's sort of taking video footage of unpleasantness and gore and all of that. And it isn't just the beaches either. It's like the Peak District as well. There's these images on social media going around of like the swarms of immigrant descended people all over the Peak District, or it could be the lakes. And it's these places which are seen as spiritually English. And I think that it's the shock to the system is that there was an assumption that they wouldn't actually go to these places, and certainly not in these kinds of numbers. And when I was thinking back on what happened with on Seton Sluice Beach with this woman, she was surprisingly forthright, because I was already sort of, I already had the same opinions about all of this as what I had now. So, and I found it strange and depressing as well that this little sort of forgotten enclave on the northeast coastline, like that too would be diversified. Or you think of the kind of the managerial processes that led these men there. Was there going to be like some sort of asylum seeker hotel refuge dumping ground thing nearby? Or, and another thing that you'll hear is that people will say it started here now, or this place has just gone. Let's say the West End of Newcastle or something. But there's a certain kind of acceptance. And people are going to say, no, there isn't, no, there isn't. But there's a certain something about cities that they've already been sort of deterritorialized. And in this age that we live in, we don't like to think in terms of woo-woo, mystical, spiritual stuff, which in my opinion is part of the reason why we're in this mess. But it's hard to kind of put on a spreadsheet and quantify why Brighton Beach or the Peak District or Seton Sluice Beach should be more free of diversity. There's an assumption that, well, okay, this is our place. They've got their inner city London boroughs. They've got these like sort of old industrial areas of Yorkshire. Already you can see the concessions that have been made. Already you can say that, I mean, maybe back in the day, that, well, there was these people who were, where those areas were thought of as being sacred as well, where those areas were thought, well, we can't give that area up and we can't give this area up. What's revealed to us now each summer is a number of hard realities, because when the weather's bad, people aren't mingling as much in these public spaces, these public areas. So when for most of the year, and most of the year is pretty awful, you don't go out much, or you mingle, or you just go to the pub. But it's in the warm weather that you think, well, okay, the weather's great. Let's pack up the car and head down to the beach, this beach or that beach. Or another one was in Ingram Valley, which is this forgotten little enclave in Northumberland, which is a real beauty spot. And now that's just totally swarming with all kinds of people, to be honest. But videos go around on TikTok directing people to all of the hotspots. And this naturally means that, I mean, I remember going up to Ingram Valley some years ago, and there was like a family of Muslims washing their feet in the river, that the little sort of crystal clear river that runs through it. And you just, again, everybody just looks down depressed, because you think, is there nowhere where we can go? Is nowhere ours now? And the fact is, this is so bleak, because there isn't. And you begin to realize that when they gave out those passports, when the government gave away all these passports like confetti, they weren't just giving these things away in an abstract sense, where it was just data, or where it was just labor that would be working in delivery services in inner city London, or some kind of dumpy area of Yorkshire somewhere, which you didn't care about. And what happens in the hot weather is, even be say even like not even to mention all of the crime. You begin to realize when everybody spills out, everybody spills out of their atomized existences, and you go to spaces which you kind of held sacred, and you realize they're not anymore. But for a lot of people, and the woman on Seton Sluice Beach was an exception, well, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like there's something not right and wrong here? And it's because, in theory, the assumption was, again, that, well, they would stay in their place, but there's no reason for that. And you begin to, I mean, you almost feel like the Indian on Dances with Wolves, when he asks Kevin Costner, like, how many more will come? And Kevin Costner says, they'll come like the stars. It will be unending. And there'll be this kind of desperation to lock off certain areas. Is it politically viable? No, certainly not under the current situation. And people feel like, well, if this there's basically nowhere that we can go and claim our own. And the reason why I think there's a disconnect is that the civic sort of state consensus is completely at odds with the way people actually are and the way people feel. Because there's certain places and certain areas which have more of a poetic, mystical side to them still. Because on the in theory, like, there's no difference. In theory, and on the computer screens and in policy papers, there is no difference between inner city London and the Cheviot Hills. None whatsoever. And in actual fact, there's policies in place to actively encourage foreigners, newcomers, to seek out these areas, to deliberately target the places which we thought were ours in a spiritual way. And this is a terrible, terrible, horrible thing. And I just find it fascinating that when the reality dawns each year, it becomes something truly, truly horrific. Because what was abstract and bureaucratic and administrative have become real and flesh and blood. And it's trampling all over what remains of a idealist poetic version of England. What the shreds of it that still remain. And it also means that when people have certain views and certain opinions, which they never actually have to live in the real world, it's put to the test because it makes people go from the abstract principle, even like a shitlib, where they will say, I wouldn't care if I was the only native Brit in an area, to I am the only native Brit in the area. And for a lot of time, they may have been able to avoid it. They may have been able to just go to work and just go home. But when you begin to see the true outcome of these processes, of these, in this case, dishing out the passports willy-nilly for year after year after year, it's unavoidable anymore. And it's staking a claim to the very heart of the country itself. And so you feel as if you've got nothing. You're being left with nothing. And when they give these passports away, it isn't just a piece of paper. It isn't just a little book. It isn't just some extra data on the census. They've entitled people from anywhere to take everything, absolutely everything. And so what we're seeing is the desecration of the sacred, even though in our modern minds, a lot of people sort of balk and wince at that kind of language, especially when it's sort of being applied to a place or a landscape. But we can scoff, at the idea that in Burma they've got something which they think of as a magical or a mystical mountain. But what they're doing is keeping it enchanted and keeping themselves and their identity sort of connected to it on a deeper level, which isn't just purely material. And so this is what we feel like is being trampled all over. And in my view, this is why there's this sort of stampede to the right. Because at the end of the day, we can laugh at it, but when, if in my case, somewhere like Whitley Bay, which is imbued with generations and generations of tuna fish sandwiches with sand in and family memories and the long, what seemed like a long, long trip on the bus through North Tyneside all the way down to Whitley Bay on the 363 as it was back in the day. All of these things actually do mean something. They mean something to us, but not other people. And you get the sense that that's our place and our memories and our identity ultimately. And so you get this erasure which is taking place. And I think this is what people feel when they see these images of going around on of this process of complete deterritorialization. It's like if you've got a dog and then somebody else invites their dog in and they eat their dinner, and the dog whose dinner it is left kind of puzzled. I mean, ultimately the question is, are we allowed to be in any way territorial? Are we allowed to claim over any space in the country what we thought was ours? And is it a moral question? Well, let's flip that around. Is it moral to give yourself to throw open everything which has anything related to your identity, and just make it universal so that there's no exclusive dibs on it whatsoever? And I think this is ridiculous. I think that what that results in is almost like the existence of a reptile or something which just slithers around on the world, disconnected from anything. And ultimately, all of this is academic anyway, because when you look at where politics is and where it's going, this ultimately is what's beneath the surface, beneath the arguments about economics and about demographic projections and about housing and about all the crime statistics and all the rest of it. This ultimately is the core of it all. Do we have a right to a territory or not? And if not, then who decides that? And what is its moral legitimacy? And I can tell you now, it doesn't have any. So that's currently what we're in. And when you see these videos on social media, I mean, it's easy to despair, but this is, as they say, hopefully a wake-up call. So thanks for listening, folks. I realize it was a bit gloomy. If you like what I do, you can find all of my written stuff and podcasts and things on my Substack. So take care out there this hot, hot summer.